If you're a home or business owner, you might have heard from Wisconsin's Focus on Energy program about incentives for making your home or facilities more energy efficient. Governor Tony Evers had previously asked for increased funding for the program by way of higher contributions from utilities as part of his 2021-23 budget proposal. Republican state lawmakers pulled that from the budget. It's unclear whether Evers will make a similar proposal this cycle, but increasing energy efficiency statewide is a part of the governor's plan to make Wisconsin's electricity 100% carbon-free by 2050. So how's the Focus on Energy program working in the meantime? You could join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about the state's Focus on Energy efficiency program? Have you worked with it, benefited from it maybe as a private citizen or a business owner? Have you made changes to make your home or office more energy efficient? Have you seen an impact on your energy bills? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Rebecca Cameron Vock is chair of the Wisconsin Public Service Commission. Rebecca, welcome to Central Time.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
Well, I mentioned people who are familiar with Focus on Energy, asking them to call in. How about for people who haven't? Can you give us the basics on what Focus on Energy is and what it does?
Sure. So Focus on Energy partners with Wisconsin utilities to help homeowners and businesses install cost-effective energy efficiency and renewable energy projects. What's really important, and I've heard this being discussed multiple times over the last few years, and I think that it's a point that is worth clarifying. When we're talking about energy efficiency, we're talking about using less energy to perform the same task in order to produce the same result. So energy efficient homes and buildings will use less energy to heat or cool or run appliances and electronics. And when we look at our manufacturing companies, energy efficient manufacturing facilities, they actually use less energy. So it's important to understand the difference between conservation and energy efficiency. When we talk about conservation, that's relying on people's individual behavior to cut back on their usage. When we're talking about energy efficiency and focus on energy in particular, we're talking about ways to harness and utilize technology to help us avoid or reduce energy waste.
Can you give us a couple of examples of the things that Focus on Energy might do, say with homeowners via utilities to help harness that efficiency?
Sure, absolutely. So the first thing that Focus would help you do is they would take an energy assessment of your home. They would send out a trade ally. They would look at the home. They would measure. They would look at the doors. Are you losing a lot of air in between your door jams, in your windows? And then they would offer a range of rebates and services to help you make your home more efficient. So think everything from pipe insulation to Energy Star certified LED light bulbs, high efficiency shower heads, all sorts of products, insulation, air sealing, to help your home retain the energy inside so that it's not leaking energy, so to speak.
And I assume some of those things would apply in a business setting as well. What sorts of unique things for a business, and that can cover a lot of ground, obviously, what kind of specific things for the business world might Focus on Energy do?
Right. Absolutely. I mean, we see just an incredible amount of savings when we look at the business applications, in particular in the manufacturing segment. There are ways and technologies that you can capture the wasted heat that comes off of, think of a very high intensity line where you're producing a product or you're heating metal to a really, really high temperature. You can capture the energy that's coming off from that process, and you can reutilize the energy. But that takes technical expertise. And one of the real important benefits of Focus on Energy is the technical assistance and the technical advisors that they have. So they will work with manufacturing companies, large energy users, and help identify, walk around the facility, look at the shop floor, identify ways to capture those savings, and then run through the numbers to help make it as cost effective as possible.
Rebecca Cameron Bach is with us, chair of the Wisconsin Public Service Commission, looking at the state's focus on energy, electricity efficiency program, energy efficiency in general, I should say. You can join in at 800-642-1234 with your thoughts, your questions, maybe your experiences. Have you done something to make your home or business more energy efficient? Join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller now. Laura is with us in Twin Lakes. Hi, Laura.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I'm part of Citizen Climate Lobby out of Elkhorn, Wisconsin. And during our meeting last month, we talked about using focus on energy to promote the climate lobby and climate change and everything. And we also, we were talking about having it done, the assessment done. But I understand there may be a cost and it might be significant. Is that true?
Go ahead, Rebecca.
Yeah, thanks for the question. That should not be the case. The assessment should be able to be done at low to no cost. I'm assuming that you've already checked out focusonenergy.com.
We do still have Laura. Yeah. So just in general, if somebody is in Laura's position, Rebecca, talk us through how they would seek out this home energy assessment.
So the best place to get started is to learn more by visiting our website, which is focusonenergy.com. And there you'll find a number of resources, particularly the ability to connect with a trade ally in your area of the state. And then you would work with that trade ally to determine what the next steps are.
Laura, thanks a lot for that call. Good luck. Rebecca, you've made the case recently that, hey, focus on energy is worth the investment and worth more investment. Republican lawmakers said, you know, the cost comes out of utilities who then pass the cost on to ratepayers. So how do you make the case that investing more is worth it?
So energy efficiency is one of the easiest and most cost-effective ways for us to do a number of things, including combating climate change, reducing energy costs for all consumers, and improving the competitiveness of our U.S. businesses. We also know through a number of studies that energy efficiency is arguably the most important component in achieving net zero emissions of carbon dioxide. For 2021, I can tell you, Rob, that the average residential customer paid about $1.78 per month. And by investing that $1.78 per month, Focus on Energy generated more than $4 in benefits. So what are those benefits? The benefits accrue to every single customer in the state, because we're reducing the kilowatt hours and the therms that are being consumed, which means that the utilities have to go out and procure less of that. By lowering peak demands, we are delaying or eliminating the need for costly grid investments, whether that's building new power plants or that's in increasing construction activities that are needed on the distribution system. So it really truly is an investment in the truest sense of the word. And due to the continued success of Focus, Wisconsin homes and businesses have saved nearly 6.3 million megawatt hours since 2007. And to put that in terms that make it a little easier to understand, that is the same amount of generation that we would get from two modern large-scale natural gas plants. And that means real savings for all customers. And I've heard an argument that, well, if we're going to be increasing our investment in focus on energy, that's going to disproportionately impact the lower income communities of our state. And we know that that's not true. Because we know that energy efficiency programs actually improve community resilience, and energy efficiency programs address energy equity by bringing efficient and cost-effective technologies and infrastructure to underserved communities, those in our state, which arguably have some of the most inefficient housing stock.
And you mentioned lower income people, Rebecca. I understand Focus of Energy works with, or the state has an energy assistance program. Can you tell us about that?
Yes. So energy assistance is funded through the Department of Administration. And those are federal dollars that are used to help customers pay their energy bills. And certainly energy assistance is an important part of the equation when we're talking about energy burden or affordability of energy bills. But it is only one tool for us to use. Increased energy efficiency will help customers to utilize less energy, which will result in lower energy bills.
Rebecca, thanks again for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Rob.
That's Rebecca Cameron-Vock, chair of the Wisconsin Public Service Commission. We talked to her today about the state's energy efficiency program. It's called Focus on Energy. Coming up, we focus on the cost of heating your home, what drives the prices we pay, and ways you could be more efficient and save money while still staying warm. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you seen some sticker shock on your heating bills this year or in recent years? Have you done things, whether through Focus on Energy or otherwise, to try to conserve energy, to be more energy efficient, to bring those costs down? Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@wpr.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. We're picking up our conversation about energy efficiency and turning toward home heating bills this winter. Carl Ebert recently wrote about the topic for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, where he covers manufacturing, energy, and the new economy. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you noticed higher heating bills this year? We had a warmer than usual December, I think. Were you happy for some relief? Do you have questions about what goes into the prices we pay? Have you taken steps to pay less by getting more energy efficient? Maybe some insulation. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Carl, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me.
You wrote this piece in January. As I mentioned, we had a milder start for the most part to the winter. What were you starting to look at as we hunkered down in some serious January cold?
Well, you know, that story stemmed from my bill, which had a couple of days of January in it. And I think that people were shocked by the scale of their December bills. Despite the fact that we had a mild winter, fuel costs were sky high in December, and that was reflected in what people paid.
And what's driving that cost in large part? I mean, a lot of us heat with natural gas, of course. What was happening with the price of natural gas?
Yeah, the majority of us heat with natural gas, and gas prices have been very volatile for the past year. You know, it really began with the with the invasion of Ukraine, but global gas markets have been up and down. And by December, the price of natural gas was about 40% more than it is now.
And when I look, I actually follow natural gas prices some, and sometimes it's like, okay, great. The natural gas price just dropped a lot. That's not immediately reflected in our heating bills, which I guess makes sense. If I'm buying for utility, I'm not going to do like, oh, I'm running a little low on milk, I'll run out to the store today. How far in advance are they making sure they have a supply of natural gas?
Well, you know, that's one of the things that's hard for people to understand. If they do look at spot natural gas prices, there's a place in Louisiana called the Henry Hub, and that's the benchmark for current market prices. And you can see that go up and down and down. And it fell, but the utilities, have a long-term fuel plan, and they need to establish reserves. They need to lock in contracts for the heating season, and then they supplement from the spot market. And this summer, when a lot of that buying happened, the prices were at the highest they've been in 2008, a decade.
Mm-hmm. And you, in your piece, take us deep into our energy bills and a couple lines that up to our total, I guess, per unit of natural gas, called a therm, our per therm cost. What's going into that?
What's going into the per therm cost? The utilities are only allowed to bill us what they pay for the gas. The profit on the gas bill shows up in other charges other than the per therm charge. There are connection fees and other associated costs.
And with the fluctuations in price, which part of our heating bill do we see that show up on?
Typically your bill's going to have part of one month and part of the following month. It's not like the billing period ends on the 30th or 31st of the month. So if you look at it and you want to kind of see where the prices are going, that'll show you as two separate lines. And then there is a base rate that you'll see. That was the one that was approved by the Public Service Commission as the very base. And then there's something that shows up as either a PGA or a purchase gas charge. It goes by a variety of names depending upon the utility. And that's what reflects the actual price of gas as it was paid for by the utility.
Talking to Carl Ebert with the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, looking at what goes into the price we pay to heat our homes. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Let's bring on a caller. Craig is with us in Adams. Craig, hi.
Hey, how you doing? I just want to back up and regroup just for a split second to your previous conversation. I'll jump right into the heat.
Sure.
All the new appliances out there are crap, okay? My mom has a kitchen stove, which is a Magic Chef from 1940 that still works. Our new stove lasted a year and a half, and our new fridge, which was a brand name, both only lasted 3 years, and then you're shopping again. Okay, now to the heat. We had to rebuild our house in 05 due to a fire. They had, you know, everything, new house, new furnace, the whole thing. We are on our third motherboard for the furnace. Very, very brand name. Where parts are coming from, I don't care where it's manufactured, because that doesn't mean crap. Where the parts are coming from is not anywhere close to what it used to be.
I gotcha, Craig. Thanks a lot for the call. Carl, I mean, there's been a move toward more energy efficient appliances. I got to say, I haven't had the bad luck. Craig has. Sorry about the house fire too, Craig. Is there this perception out there that energy efficient means shorter lifespans for these appliances? Is that anything you ran into as you were researching furnaces?
No, boy, I really can't speak to that. I can from, the energy savings side,
sure,
say that, furnace maintenance is important. Changing filters is important. There are things that you can do. My experience with a relatively new furnace is that I've got a significantly reduced heating bill and great reliability.
Craig, thanks again. Sorry for the bad appliance luck with you. Now, you also look, they say April's the cruelest month, Carl, but you asked the question, is January the worst month for home heating? I guess it kind of makes sense. Is that when we pay our biggest heating bills?
Typically, yes. You know, I mean, the weather's so variable now that it's hard to say. It was 40 some degrees out today. You can't predict it, but historically, when you look at what are called heating degree days, January is the coldest month. It's also one of the longer ones, psychologically as well as on the calendar. You can expect your January bill generally to be higher, but there's no guarantee. You can have a very cold February and the bill comes on.
And then when it comes to energy efficiency, how much control do we have over our own heating bills by doing some of the, focus on energy kind of things we were talking about earlier? Can we bring those numbers down?
Well, yeah, certainly you can, and they're really simple things that you can do. You know, I spoke about, furnace maintenance. That one's maybe a little late in the season to be able to get somebody to do that, but checking your filters. You can open south-facing windows during the day. That lets the heat in. It can raise the temperature in
the room. The blinds, I should say, not
degrees.
The windows.
Right. Yeah. Don't open the windows. I found that I have a house that can be that has cold pockets. I have the fans on in winter, but I've reversed their direction from summer, and it moves the air around and it fills those things in. You know, you can go through your windows, you can identify leaks, make those seals. All those things can make a difference.
And then you also wrote about a couple options for people having trouble paying their bills. We talked a little bit about the low-income heating assistance program earlier. There's also a budget billing that doesn't actually save money, but it does do something. What is that?
What it does is it evens out the peaks and valleys in your annual utility bill. And this is for both heat and for electric. And, you know, in summer, a lot of us are running air conditioners, so the electric bill goes up. If you sign up for budget billing, they look at the average that you've, your average consumption over a fixed period, and then you sign up for 6 months and it gets adjusted. But you have a fixed bill every month that allows you to budget around that.
Carl, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Carl Ebert, business reporter for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We talked to him today about winter heating bills, how prices are set, and got some ideas on how we can try to save some money on those bills. We also heard earlier from the head of the state's Public Service Commission, Rebecca Cameron Vock, talking about the Focus on Energy program. We'll get a link to the Focus on Energy program, by the way, over at WPR.org/Central Time if you want to check it out and see if it applies to your home or your business.